visions. What he says is true, though his reason for telling us might be less than honorable. His maddening smile flags, twisting into a scowl that betrays a quick temper. I see the crown dripping blood, a storm without thunder, shadow twisting on a bed of flames. Cal's hand twitches at his side. I see lakes flooding their shores, swallowing men whole. I see a man with one red eye, his coat blue, his gun smoking. Farley beats a fist against the table. Enough! I believe him. The words taste strange. I can't trust my own friends, but here I am, allying myself with a cursed stranger. Cal looks at me like I've grown a second head, his eyes screaming out a question he doesn't dare ask aloud. I can only shrug and avoid the searing weight of John's red eyes. They rove over me, examining every inch of the Lightning Girl. For the first time in ages, I wish for silk and silver armor, to look like the leader I pretend to be. Instead, I shiver in my threadbare sweater, trying to hide the scars and bones beneath. I'm glad he cannot see my brand, but something tells me he knows about it anyway. Buck up, Mayor Barrow. With a great swell of strength, I lift my chin and shift in my chair, effectively turning my back on the others. John smiles in the ashen light. Where is Koro's prison? Mayor, you can drop me off on the way. I shoot back at Cal, not bothering to watch the verbal blow land. I'm not leaving them to become Ilara's puppets, and I won't abandon Julian, not again. The lines on John's face deepen, speaking of many painful decades. He's younger than I thought, hiding youth beneath the wrinkles and the gray hair. How much has he seen to make him this way? Everything, I realize. Every horrible or wonderful thing that could ever happen. Death, life, and everything in between. You're exactly who I thought you would be, he murmurs, covering my hands with his own. Veins web beneath his skin, blue and purple and full of red blood. The sight of them brings me such comfort. I'm grateful to have met you. I offer up a thin but obliging smile, the best I can do. Where is the prison? They won't let you go alone. John glances over my shoulder. But we both know that, don't we? A warm blush rises to my cheeks, and I have to nod. John mirrors the action before his gaze shifts, landing on the table. The dreamy look returns and he pulls his hands away. He stands up on wavering feet, still watching something we cannot see. Then he sniffs and pulls up his collar, gesturing for us to do the same. Rain, he warns, seconds before a downpour slams into the roof above us. Pity we must walk. I feel like a drowned rat by the time we reach the jet, having hiked straight through mud and torrential rain. John keeps us at a steady pace, even slowing us once or twice to line things up, as he said. A few seconds after the jet comes into view, I realize what he meant. Gareth tumbles out of the sky, a slowing meteor of wet clothes and blood. He touches down fine, and the bundle in his arms, a baby by the looks of it, springs into midair, transforming before our eyes. Nanny's feet hit the ground hard, and she stumbles, dropping to one aged knee. Shade jumps to her side, holding her steady, while Farley pulls Gareth's arm over her shoulder. He gladly puts his weight on her, leaning to compensate for a useless leg dripping blood. Ambush in Petaris, he growls, both in anger and pain. Nanny got away clean, but they surrounded me. Had to upend a city block before I could break off. Even though John assured us there would be no pursuit, I can't help but watch the darkening sky. Every twist of cloud looks like another air jet, but I hear and feel nothing except the distant shivers of thunder. They're not coming, Miss Barrow, John says over the rain. His mad smile has returned. Gareth glances at him confused, but nods along. I don't think anyone followed, he says, trailing into a growl of pain. Farley adjusts her grip on Gareth, taking on almost his entire weight. Even though she helps him toward the jet, her focus is on John, Was the little beast there? Gareth nods. Sentinels were, so the king couldn't have been far. She curses, but I don't know who she's angrier at. Maven for ambushing our friends, or John for being right. Leg looks worse than it is, John calls over the rain. He points at Gareth as Farley helps him up the ramp and onto the jet. Then his finger waves to Nanny, still crouched against shade. She's bone-tired and cold. Blankets should do. I'm not some old coot to be wrapped up and shut away, Nanny snarls from the ground. She gets to her feet as quickly as she can, burning a glare at John. Let me walk, Shade, or I'll scold you into oblivion. Your call, Nanny, Shade mumbles, fighting a smirk as she struts by him. He gives her enough room to move, but is never more than an arm's length away. Nanny proudly stalks into the jet, her head held high and back ramrod straight. You did that on purpose, Cal growls as he shoulders past John. He doesn't bother to look back, even when John barks a laugh at his retreating form. And it worked, he says, low enough so that only I can hear. Trust the vision, not the man. A good lesson to learn. Cal's got a thing against mind games, I warn, raising one pointed hand. A spark of lightning runs down my finger. The threat is plain as day. And so do I. I don't play games, John shrugs, tapping the side of his head. Even when I was a boy, this made it a bit hard to find competition, you see. That's not... I know what you meant, Miss Barrow. His placid smile, once unsettling, has become frustrating. I spin on my heel, making for the jet, but after a few quick steps, I realize John isn't following. He stares into the rain, but his eyes are wide and bright. A vision has not taken hold. He's just standing still, enjoying the feel of cold, clean water washing the ash from his skin. This is where I leave you. The pulse of the jet spooling to life echoes in my ribcage, but it feels distant, unimportant. I can only stare at John. In the dimming light of the rainstorm, he looks like he's fading away. Gray as the ash, gray as the rain, fleeting as both. I thought you were going to help us with the prison. Desperation floods my voice and I let it. John doesn't seem to mind, so I try another tactic. Maven's hunting for you too. He's killing all of us. And he'll kill you when he gets the chance. That makes him laugh so hard he doubles. You think I don't know the moment I die? I do, Miss Barrow, and it will not be at the king's hands. My teeth gnash together in irritation. How can he leave? All the others chose to fight. Why won't he? You know I can make you come with us. In the gray downpour, my lightning seems to spark twice as brightly. Purple-white, hissing in the rain, it twists between my fingers and sends shivers of pleasure up my spine. Again, John smiles. I know you can, and I know you won't. But take heart, Miss Barrow. We will meet again. He tips his head, thinking. Yes, yes, we will. I'm only doing what I promised. I'm giving him a choice. Still, it takes all I have not to drag him onto the jet. We need you, John! But he's already begun to back away. Every step makes him harder to see. Trust me when I say you don't. I leave you with these instructions. Fly to the outskirts of Syracuse, to Little Sword Lake. Protect what you find there, or your imprisoned friends are as good as dead. Syracuse, Little Sword Lake. I repeat the words until they commit to memory. Not tomorrow, not tonight, but now. You must fly now. The roar of the jet expands until the air itself vibrates with strain. What are we looking for? I shout over the din, putting up one hand to shield my face from the spinning rain. It stings, but I squint through it, if only to see the last silhouette of the gray man. You'll know, comes out of the rain, and tell Diana. When she doubts, tell her the answer to her question is yes. What question? But he ticks a finger, almost scolding. Attend to your own fate, Mare Barrow. And that is to rise and rise alone. It echoes like the howl of a wolf. I see you as you could become. No longer the lightning, but the storm. The storm that will swallow the world entire. For a split second, it looks like his eyes are glowing. Red against gray, burning through me, to look into every future. His lips curve into that maddening smile, letting his teeth gleam in the silver light. And then he's gone. When I stomp aboard the jet alone, Cal has the good sense to let me simmer in my anger. Only despair drowns out my rage. Rise alone. Alone. I dig my nails into my palm, trying to chase the sadness with pain. Fates can change. Farley is not so tactful as Cal. She looks up from bandaging Garrett's leg, her fingers sticky with scarlet blood, and sneers. Good. We didn't need the old loon anyways. That old loon could have won this war outright. Shade cuffs her lightly on the shoulder, earning a dark glare. Think of what he can do with his ability. From the pilot seat, Cal glowers. He's done enough. He watches me take the chair next to him, seething all the while. You really want to storm a secret prison built for people like us? Would you rather let Julian die? No answer but for a low hiss. That's what I thought. All right, then. He sighs, easing the jet into a crawl. The wheels bump beneath us, rolling over uneven road. We have to regroup, get a plan together. Anyone who wants to come is welcome, but no kids. No kids. I agree. My mind flashes to Luther and the other New Blood children back at the Notch. Too young to fight, but not young enough to be spared from Maven's hunt. They won't like being left behind. But I know how Cal cares for them. He won't allow any of them to see the wrong side of a gun. Whatever you're talking about, I'm in. Gareth looks at us around Farley, his teeth gritted against the pain in his leg. Though I'd like to know what it is I'm signing up for. Scoffing, Nanny swats at him one bony hand. Just because you're shot in the leg doesn't mean you can stop paying attention. It's a prison break. Too right, Nan. Farley agrees. And a goose chase, if you ask me. Going on the word of a madman. That stills even Nanny's jokes. She fixes me with a stare only a grandmother could summon. Is that true, Mayor? Madman's a bit harsh, Shade mutters. But he doesn't deny what they're all thinking. I'm the only one who believes John, and they trust me enough to follow that faith. He was right about Petaris and everything else he said. Why would he lie about the jail? Rise and rise alone. He didn't lie. My shout silences them all, until there's only the rumble of jet engines. They rise to a familiar dull roar that shudders through the craft, and soon the pavement beneath us falls away. Rain spatters against the windows, making it impossible to see, but Cal's too good to let us drop. After a few moments, we burst through the gunmetal clouds and into bright midday sun. It's like throwing off an iron weight. Take us to Little Sword Lake, I murmur. John said we would find something there, something that will help. I expect more arguments, but no one dares cross me. It's not wise to annoy a lightning girl when you're flying in a metal tube. Thunder rolls beneath us. In the clouds below, a harbinger of the lightning churning in the rainstorm. Great bolts strike the land, and I feel each one as an extension of myself. Fluid, but sharp as glass, burning through everything in their way. The little sword is not far, on the northern edge of the storm, and it reflects the steadily clearing sky like a mirror. Cal circles once, high enough and deep enough in the clouds to hide our presence, before he spots a runway half buried in the forested hills around the lake. When we touch down, I all but leap from my seat, though I have no idea what I'm looking for. Shade is close behind me as I sprint down the jet ramp, eager to get to the lake. It's a mile north, if memory serves, and I let my inner compass take hold. But I barely make it to the tree line before a familiar sound stops me cold. The click of a gun. 22. She's holding the pistol wrong. Even I know that. It's too big for her. Made of shimmering black metal, with a barrel nearly a foot long. Better suited to a trained soldier, rather than a shivering, slight teenage girl. A soldier, I realize with cold clarity. A silver. It's the same kind of gun a sentinel shot me with. So long ago in the cells, deep beneath the Hall of the Sun. The bullet felt like a blow from a hammer, and went straight through my spine. I would have died if not for Julian and the blood healer under his control. In spite of my ability, I raise my hands, palms open in surrender. I'm the Lightning Girl, but I'm not bulletproof. But she takes this as a threat instead of submission, and tenses, her finger itching too close to the trigger. Don't move, she hisses, daring to take another step toward me. Her skin, the dark, rich color of blackwood bark, offers her perfect camouflage in the forest, and yet I see the red bloom beneath, and the tiny scarlet veins webbing the whites of each eye. I gasp to myself. She's red. Don't bleeding think about it. I won't, I tell her, tipping my head. But I can't speak for him. Her brows furrow in confusion. She doesn't have time to be afraid. Shade appears behind her, solidifying out of thin air, and wraps her up in an expert military hold. The gun falls from her grasp, and I snatch it before it can hit the rocky ground. She fights, snarling. But with Shade's arms firmly locked behind her head, she can't do much more than sink to her knees. He follows, keeping her firmly in hand, his mouth set in a grim line. A scrawny girl is no match for him. The gun feels foreign in my hand. It's not my chosen form of weapon. I've never even shot one before. I almost laugh at that, to come so far without even firing a gun. Get your silver hands off me, she growls, struggling against Shade's grip. She's not strong but slippery, with long, lean muscles. Keeping her still is like holding on to an eel. I won't go back, I won't! You'll have to kill me! Sparks crackle in my empty hand, while the other still clutches the gun. The sight of my lightning freezes her immediately. Only her eyes move, widening in fear. Her tongue darts out, wetting dry and cracked lips. Knew I recognized you. Cal's heat outruns his body, enveloping me in a pocket of warmth moments before he skids to my side. His fingertips burn blue with fear, but his flames recede at the sight of the girl. I got you a present, I mutter, pressing the gun into his hand. He glares at it, seeing exactly what I saw. How did you get this? He asks, dropping to a crouch so he can look her in the eye. His manner, cold and firm, takes me back to the last time I watched him interrogate someone. The memory of Farley's screams and frozen blood still turns my stomach. When she doesn't answer, he tightens, a coil of hard muscle. This gun. How? I took it, she rages back, squirming. Her joints crack with the action. I wince with her and lock eyes with my brother. Let her be, Shade. I think we can handle this fine. He nods, glad to let go of the wriggling teenager, and releases her. She pitches forward but catches herself before eating dirt. She skirts away from Cal's attempt to help. Don't touch me, Lordy! She looks liable to bite, her teeth bared and gleaming. Lordy? He mutters under his breath, now just as confused as the girl. Above her, Shade narrows his eyes in realization. Lordy. High Lords. Silvers. It's slum slang, he explains for our benefit. What town are you from? He asks her, his tone much kinder than Cal's. It takes her off guard, and she glances at him, her black eyes darting in fear. But she keeps looking back at me, transfixed by the thin spindles of sparks between my fingers. Newtown? She finally replies. They took me from Newtown. Now it's my turn to bend, so I can look at her fully. She seems like my opposite, long and lean where I am short, her braided hair a gleaming oil black, while mine fades from brown to splinters of gray. She's younger than me, I can see it in her face, maybe 15 or 16, but her eyes speak of weariness beyond her short years. Her fingers are long and crooked, probably broken by machinery too many times to count. If she's from the Newtown slum, she's a techie, doomed to work the factories and assembly lines of a city born in smoke. There are tattoos on her neck, but nothing so superfluous as Krantz's anchor. Numbers, I realize. NT-ARSM-188907. Big and blocky, 2 inches high, wrapping halfway around her throat. Not pretty, is it, Lightning Girl? She sneers, noting my gaze. Disdain drips from her words like venom from fangs. But you don't like to bother with ugly things. Her tone grates, and I'm tempted to show her exactly how ugly I can be. Instead, I hearken back to my court training and do what so many did to me. I smirk in her face, laughing quietly. I hold the cards here, and she needs to know it. Her expression sours, annoyed by my reaction. You took this from a silver, Cal presses on, gesturing to the gun. His disbelief is plain for all to hear. Who helped you?
No one helped. You should know that firsthand, she throws back. Had to do it all myself. Guard Egri didn't see me coming.
What? Only my lessons with Lady Blanos keep me from gasping outright. A soldier of House Egri, the House of Eyes. Any one of them can see the immediate future, like lesser versions of John. It's almost impossible for a silver to attack them without knowing, let alone a red girl. Impossible. She only shrugs.
Thought silvers were supposed to be tough, but she was nothing, and fighting was better than waiting around in my cell for whatever they had planned.
Cell. I fall back on my heels, leveled by understanding. You escaped from Karo's prison. Her eyes fly to mine, and her lower lip quivers. It's the only indication of the fear coursing beneath her enraged exterior. Cal's hand finds my elbow, steadying me.
What's your name?
He asks, his tone taking on a gentler edge. He treats her like a spooked animal, and that provokes her like nothing else. She stands quickly, fists clenched, making the veins stand out in arms scarred by years of factory work. Her eyes narrow, and for a moment, I think she might bolt. Instead, she digs her feet into the dirt and straightens her spine with pride.
My name is Cameron Cole, and if you don't mind, I'm going to be on my way.
She's taller than me, as graceful and elegant as any lady of court. My head barely reaches her chin when I draw myself up to my full height, but the flicker of fear is still in her. She knows exactly who and what I am.
Cameron Cole, I repeat.
Julian's list floods my thoughts, her name and information with it. And then, the records from Harbor Bay, more detailed than Julian's findings. I feel quite like Ada when I spit back what I remember, my words quick and sure. Born January 3rd, 305, in Newtown. Occupation apprentice mechanic, indentured by assembly and repair, small manufacturing sector. Address, Unit 48, Block 12, Residence Sector, Newtown. Blood type not applicable. Gene mutation, strain unknown. Her mouth falls open, letting loose a tiny gasp.
Does that sound right?
She can barely nod her head in agreement. Her whisper is even weaker.
Yes.
Shade whistles under his breath.
Damn, John.
He murmurs, shaking his head. I nod at him, agreeing. What he sent us to find wasn't an it at all, but a who.
You're a new blood, Cameron, just like Shade and me. Red-blooded with silver abilities. That's why they locked you up in Karos, and that's why you were able to escape. Whatever ability you have set you free, so you could find us.
I take a step toward her, meaning to embrace my new blood sister, but she darts away from my touch.
I didn't escape to find you, she spits.
I smile as best I can for her, trying to put her at ease. After so many recruits, the words come out easy. I know exactly what to say and exactly how she'll respond. It's always the same.
You don't have to come, of course, but you'll die alone. King Maven will find you again. Another step back, shocking me. She sneers, shaking her head. The only place I'm going is the choke, and not you or your lightning can stop me.
The choke? I exclaim, perplexed.
Next to me, Cal tries his best to be civil. His best isn't very good.
Idiocy, he snaps. The choke has more silvers than you know, each one instructed to arrest or kill you on sight. If you're lucky, they'll take you back to prison.
The side of her mouth twitches.
The choke has my twin brother and 5,000 others like him marching right into a grave. They'd have me too if it weren't for whatever it is that put me in prison. You might be all right with abandoning your own, but I'm not.
Her breath comes hard and harsh. I almost see the scales tipping back and forth in her head, weighing her options. She's easy to read, wearing her thoughts and emotions plainly in every twitch of her face. I don't flinch when she runs, sprinting into the trees. We don't follow, and I feel Shade and Cal watching me, waiting for what to do next. I told myself I would give everyone a choice. I let John go, even though we needed him. But something tells me we need Cameron even more, and that the young girl can't be trusted, not with a decision this monumental. She doesn't know how important she is, no matter her ability. She got out of Koros somehow, and she's going to get us back in.
Grab her, I whisper.
It feels wrong. Shade disappears with a grim nod. Deep in the woods, Cameron screams. I had to trade seats with Farley, letting her take my pilot's chair so I can sit across from Cameron and keep an eye on her. She's firmly strapped in, with her hands bound in a spare safety belt. That, paired with our current altitude, should be enough to keep her from bolting again, but I'm not willing to take such a chance. For all I know, she can fly or survive a fall from an airjet. As much as I want to use the journey back to the Notch to catch up on much-needed sleep, I keep my eyes open, meeting her glare with as much fire as I can muster. She chose wrong, I tell myself every time the guilt creeps up. We need her, and she's worth too much to lose. Nanny babbles at her side, regaling her with tales of the Notch as well as her own life story. I half expect her to pull out the weathered photographs of her grandchildren, as she always does, but Cameron stands firm where none of us could. Even the kindly old woman cannot get through to the scowling girl, who stays silent and staring at her feet.
"What's your ability, dear? Superhuman rudeness?"
she finally scoffs, fed up with being ignored. That gets Cameron to at least turn her head, wrenching her eyes off the floor. She opens her mouth to sneer back, but instead of an old woman, she finds herself staring at her own face.
"Stop the line!"
she curses, letting loose more of her slum slang. Her eyes widen and her bound hands squirm, trying to get free.
"Is anyone else seeing this?"
I chuckle darkly to myself, not bothering to hide my smirk. Leave it to Nanny to scare the girl into speaking. "Nanny can shift her appearance," I tell her. "Gareth manipulates gravity." He waves from his makeshift stretcher fixed to the side of the plane. "And you already know about the rest."
"I'm useless," Farley chirps from her seat.
A blade flicks back and forth in her hands, betraying exactly how wrong she is. Cameron snorts, her eyes following the knife as it flashes.
"Just like me."
There isn't a shred of pity in her voice, only fact.
"Not true."
I pat Julian's journal at my side. "You got past an eye, in case you've forgotten." "Well, that's all I've ever done, or will ever do." The straps around her arms twist, but hold firm.
"You grabbed a nobody, Lightning Girl. You don't want to waste your time on me."
Coming from anyone else, it might sound sad, but Cameron is smarter than that. She thinks I don't see what she's doing. But no matter what she says, no matter how useless she tries to make herself seem, I won't believe it. Her name is on the list, and that's no mistake. Maybe she doesn't know what she is yet, but we will certainly find out. I'm not blind, either. Even while I hold her challenging stare, letting her think she has me fooled, I'm aware of her deeper game. Her able fingers trained on a factory floor, work at her bindings with slow but sure efficiency. If I don't keep an eye on her, it won't be long until she twists out of her restraints. You know Koros better than any of us. As I speak, Nanny morphs back to her usual self. That's enough for me. You got a mind reader here, then? 'Cause that's the only way you're getting a bleeding word out of me. I half expect her to spit at my feet. Despite my best efforts, I find myself losing my patience. You're either useless or you're resistant. Pick one. She raises an eyebrow, surprised by my tone. If you're going to lie, you might as well do it properly. The corner of her mouth twitches, betraying a wicked grin. Forgot you know all about that. I hate children. Don't act so high and mighty, she presses on, throwing words like daggers. Besides her voice, the drone of the jet fills the air. The others are listening intently, Cal most of all. I expect to feel heat rise at any moment. You're no lordy lady now, no matter how many of us you try to order around. Betting a princeling doesn't make you queen of the heap. Lights flicker over her head, the only indication of my anger. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Cal tighten his grip on the jet controls. Like me, he's doing his best to keep calm and reasonable. But this bitch insists on making it so difficult. Why couldn't John send us a map instead? Cameron, you're going to tell us how you escaped that prison. Lady Blanos would be proud of my composure. You're going to tell us what it looks like, where the cells are, where the guards are, where they keep the silvers, the new bloods, and everything else you remember, down to the last bleeding nail. Is that clear? She flicks one of her many braids over her shoulder. It's the only thing she can move without straining against her many belts and straps. What's in it for me, then? Innocence. I heave a breath. You keep running your mouth, and you leave all those prisoners to their fate. John's words float back to me, a haunting echo of a warning. To die or face worse. I'm saving you from the guilt of that. A guilt I know too well. There's a slow pressure at my shoulder. Shade, leaning into me, letting me know he's there. A brother in blood and arms. Another to share in victory and blame. But instead of agreeing, as any rational person should, Cameron looks even angrier than before. Her face darkens, a thundercloud of emotion. Can't believe you've got the stones to say that. You, who abandoned so many after you sentenced them to the trenches. Cal's had enough. He slams a fist onto the arm of his chair. It echoes bluntly. That wasn't her order. But it was your fault. You and your stupid band of ratty red rags. She tosses a glare at Farley, cutting off any retort she might throw. Gambling with our families, our lives, while you ran and hid in the woods. And now you think you're some kind of hero, flying around saving everyone you think is special? Who's worth the Lightning Girl's precious time? I bet you walk right through the slums and the poor villages. I bet you don't even see what you've done to us. The blood rises with her anger, coloring her cheeks in a dark, lurid flush. I can't do much more than stare. New bloods, silver bloods, red bloods, it's all the same, all over again. Some who are special, some who are better than the rest, and the ones who still have nothing at all. Sickness rolls in my belly, a foreboding wave of dread. What do you mean? Division. Favoring one over the other. You're on the hunt for people like you, to protect them, to train them, to make them fight your war. Not because they want to, but because you need them. What about those kids going to fight? You don't care about them at all. You trade them all for another walking, whining spark plug. The lights flicker again, faster than before. I feel every revolution of the jet engines, despite their blinding speed. The sensation is maddening. I'm trying to save people from Maven. He's going to turn new bloods into weapons, which will end in more death, more blood. You're doing exactly what they did. She points her bound hands at Cal. They shake with anger. I know the feeling and try to hide the tremors of rage in my own fingers.
Mare.
Cal's warning falls on deaf ears, drowned out by my thundering pulse. Cameron spits venom. She's enjoying this.
An age ago, when the Silvers were new, when they were few, hunted by the people who thought they were too different.
My hands grip the edge of my seat, digging into something solid. Control. Now the jet whines in my ear, a screech to split bone. We bounce in the air and Gareth yelps, clutching at his leg.
Cameron, stop!
Farley shouts, her hands flying to her belts. They unsnap in rapid succession.
If you don't shut yourself up, I will!
But Cameron only has eyes and anger for me.
Look where that road led,
she growls, leaning as far as her straps will allow. Before I know it, I'm on my feet, my balance unsteady as the jet sways. I can barely hear her over the metallic shrieks bouncing around my skull. Her hands are out of her bindings, unfastening her belts with striking precision. She jumps up to stand, snarling into my face.
100 years from now, a new blood king will sit the throne you built him on the skulls of children.
Something tears inside me. It's the barrier between human and animal, between sense and madness. Suddenly I've forgotten the jet, the altitude, and everyone else relying on my weakening control. I can think only of educating this brat, of showing exactly who and what we're trying to save. When my fist collides with her jaw, I expect to see sparks spread over her skin, dragging her down to the floor. There's nothing but my bruised knuckles. She stares just as surprised as me. All around us, the flickering lights return to normal and the jet levels out. The whine in my head abruptly cuts off, as if a blanket of silence has fallen over my senses. It hits like a punch in the gut, dropping me to one knee. Shade has my arm in a second, clutching with brotherly concern. Are you okay? What's wrong? In the cockpit, Cal glances between me and his control panel, his head whipping back and forth.
Stabilized, he mutters, though I'm anything but.
Mare, not me.
A cold sweat breaks across my brow, and I fight the sudden urge to be sick. My breath comes in short pants, like the air is being pressed from my lungs. Something is smothering me.
Her.
She takes a step back, too shocked to lie. Her mouth falls open in fear.
I didn't do anything. I didn't. I bleeding swear it.
You didn't mean to, Cameron. That might surprise her most of all.
Just calm yourself. Just stop.
I can't breathe. I really can't breathe. My grip tightens on Shade, nails digging in. Panic spikes through my nerves, alone without my lightning. He takes my full weight on his bad shoulder, ignoring the slight twinge of pain. At least Shade is smart enough to know what I'm trying to say.
You're silencing her, Cameron. You're shutting her abilities down. You're shutting her down.
I can't. How? Her dark eyes are full of terror. My vision spots, but I see Cal blunder past. Cameron flinches away from him as any person in their right mind would. But Cal knows what to do. He's coached the children and me through similar episodes of superhuman chaos.
Let go, he says, firm and steady. No coddling, but no anger. Breathe. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let go of what you're holding.
Please let go. Please let go. My breath comes in gasps, each one shallower than the last.
Let her go, Cameron.
It's as if a boulder has been placed on my chest and is pressing me to death, squeezing out any semblance of myself.
Let her go.
I'm trying!
Easy.
I'm trying.
Her voice is softer, more controlled.
I'm trying.
Cal nods, his motion smooth as rolling waves.
That's it.
That's it. Another gasp, but this time the air sears into my lungs. I can breathe again. My senses are dull, but returning. They increase with every strengthening beat of my heart.
That's it, Cal says again, looking over his shoulder.
His eyes find mine, and a thread of tension releases between us.
That's it.
I don't hold his gaze long. I have to look at Cameron, at her fear. She squeezes her eyes shut and furrows her brow in concentration. A single tear escapes, trailing down her cheek, and her hands massage the tattoo at her neck. She is only 15. She doesn't deserve this. She shouldn't have to be so afraid of herself. I'm all right, I force out, and her eyes snap open. Before she slams shut the walls to her heart, relief flashes across her face. It doesn't last long. This doesn't change how I feel, Barrow. If I could stand, I would, but my muscles still tremble with weakness. You want to do this to someone else? To your brother when you find him? There it is. The bargain we must make. She knows it, too. You get us into Koros, and we'll make sure you know how to use your ability. We'll make you the deadliest person in the world. I fear I will regret those words. 23. My voice echoes strangely in the wide entrance chamber of the safe house. The storm from the rift has caught up with us, and a heavy mix of snow and freezing rain howls on the other side of the dirt wall. Cold comes with it, but Cal does his best to chase it away. The inhabitants of the Notch huddle together, trying to warm themselves over the campfire he kindled on the floor. Every eye catches the firelight, becoming too many red and orange jewels. They flicker with every twist of flame, always staring at me. 15 pairs in all. In addition to Cameron, Cal, Farley, and my brother, the adults of the Notch have come to hear what I have to say. Sitting next to Ada, Arketha, Harrick, and Nix. Fletcher, a skin healer immune to pain, extends his pale hands too close to the fire. Gareth pulls him back before his skin can burn. There's also Darmian, invulnerable as Nix, and Lori from the rocky islands of Kentosport. Even Killorn graces us with his presence, sitting firmly between his hunting partners, Krantz and Farah. Thankfully, there are no children present. They will have no part in this and continue on in whatever safety I can give. Nanny keeps them in their room, amusing them with her transformations, while anyone over 16 listens to me explain everything we learned on the way to Petaris. They sit in rapt attention, faces pulled in shock or fear or determination. John said 4 days would be too long, so we must do it in 3. 3 days to storm a prison, 3 days to plan. I had more than a month of hard training with the Silvers, and years before that on the streets of the Stilts. Cal is a soldier from birth. Shade spent more than a year in the army, and Farley is a captain in her own right, though she has no abilities of her own. But the others? As I look on the collected strength of the Notch, my resolve wavers. If only we had more time. Ada, Gareth, and Nix are our best chances, having abilities best suited to a raid, not to mention the most time training at the Notch. The others are powerful. Ketha can obliterate an object with the blink of an eye, but woefully inexperienced. They've been here for a few days or weeks at most, coming from gutters and forgotten villages, where they were nothing and no one. Sending them to fight will be like putting a child behind the wheel of a transport. They'll be a danger to everyone, especially themselves. Everyone knows it's foolish, an impossibility, but no one says so. Even Cameron has the good sense to keep her mouth shut. She glares into the fire, refusing to look up. I can't watch her for long. She makes me too angry and too sad. She's exactly what I was trying to avoid. Farley finds her voice first. Even if that John character spoke true about his abilities, there's no proof what he told us isn't a lie. She leans forward, cutting a sharp silhouette against the pit of fire. He could be an agent of Maven's. He said Ilara was going to start controlling New Bloods. What if she was controlling him, using him to lure us? He said Maven would set a trap. Maybe this is it? With a sinking feeling, I see a few nod along with her. Krantz, Farah, and Fletcher. I expect Killorn to side with his hunting crew, but he keeps still and silent. Like Cameron, he won't look at me. Warmth breaks against me on all sides. from the fire ahead and Cal behind, leaning against the dirt wall. He radiates like a furnace, but as quiet as the grave. He knows better than to speak. Many here tolerate him only because of me, or the children, or both. I cannot rely on him to win soldiers. I must do that myself. I believe him. The words feel so foreign in my mouth, but they are stone solid. These people insist on treating me like a leader, so I will act like one. And I'll convince them to follow. I'm going to Koros, trap or not. The new bloods there face two fates. To die, or be used by the puppeteer everyone calls the Queen. Both are unacceptable. Murmurs of agreement roll through the ones I'm trying to win over. Gareth leads them, bobbing his head in a show of loyalty. He saw John with his own eyes, and needs no more convincing than I do. I won't make anyone go, like before. You all have a choice in this. Cameron shakes her head slightly, but says nothing. Shade keeps close to her, always within arm's reach, in case she decides to do something else stupid. It will not be easy, but it is not impossible. If I say it enough, I might start to believe it myself. How's that? Krantz pipes up. If I heard you right, that prison was built to keep people like you shut up. It's not just bars and locked doors you'll have to get through. There'll be eyes at every gate, a fleet of silver offices, an armory, cameras, silent stone, and that's only if you're lucky, Lightning Girl. Next to him, Fletcher swallows thickly. He might not be able to feel pain, but the pale, fleshy man can certainly feel fear. And what if you're not? Ask her. I tip my head toward Cameron. She escaped. Gasps ripple through the crowd, as if they were the surface of a pond. Now I'm not the one they're staring at, and feels good to relax a little. In contrast, Cameron tightens, her long limbs seeming to fold inward, shielding her from their many eyes. Even Killorn looks up, but not at Cameron. His gaze trails past her, finding me as I lean back against the wall. And all my relief washes away, replaced by a twist of some emotion I can't place. Not fear, not anger. No, this is something else. Longing. In the shifting firelight with the storm outside, I can pretend we're a boy and girl huddled beneath a stilt house, seeking refuge from autumn's howl. Would that someone could control the span of time and bring me back to those days. I would hold on to them jealously, instead of whining about the cold and hunger. Now I'm just as cold, just as hungry, but no blanket can warm me. No food can sate me. Nothing will ever be the same. It's my own fault. And Killorn followed me into this nightmare. Does she speak? Krantz sneers when he gets tired of waiting for Cameron to open her mouth. Farley chuckles. Too much for my taste. Go on, Cole. Tell us everything you remember. I expect Cameron to snap again, maybe even bite Farley on the nose. But an audience calms her temper. She sees my trick, but that doesn't stop it from working. There are too many hopeful eyes, too many willing to step in harm's way. She can't ignore them now. It's past Delphi, she sighs, her eyes cloud with painful memory. Somewhere near the wash, so close you can almost smell the radiation. The wash forms the southern border of Norta, a natural divide from Piedmont and the silver princes that reign there. Like Naersi, the wash is a land of ruin, too far gone for silvers to reclaim. Not even the Scarlet Guard dares walk there, where radiation is not a deception, and the smoke of 1,000 years still lingers. They kept us isolated, Cameron continues, one to each cell, and many didn't have enough strength to do anything other than lie on their cots. Something about that place made the others sick. Silent Stone. I answer her unasked question because I remember the same feeling all too well. Twice I've been in such a cell, and twice it leached my strength away. Not much light, not much food. She shifts on her seat, eyes narrowed against the flames. Couldn't talk much either. Guards didn't like us speaking, and they were always on patrol. Sometimes sentinels came and took people away. Some were too weak to walk and had to be dragged along. I don't think the block was full, though. I saw lots of empty cells in there. Her breath catches. More every bleeding day. Describe it, the structure, Farley says. She nudges Herrick, and I understand her line of thinking. We were in our own block, the new bloods taken out of the Beacon region. It was a big square, with four flights of cells lining the walls. There were catwalks connecting the different levels, all tangled, and the magnetrons pulled them back at night. Same with the cells. If they had to open them, magnetrons all over. She curses, and I don't blame her for her anger. There were no men like Lucas Samos in the prison. No kind magnetrons, like the one who died for me in Archeon. No windows, but there was a skylight in the ceiling, small but enough to let us see the sun for a few minutes. Like this? Herrick asks, and rubs his hands together. Before our eyes, one of his illusions appears above the campfire, an image turning slowly. A box made of faint green lines. As my eyes adjust to what I'm seeing, I realize it's a rough, three-dimensional outline of Cameron's prison block. She stares at it, eyes flickering over every inch of the illusion. Wider, she murmurs, and Herrick's fingers jump. The illusion responds. Two more catwalks, four gates on the top level, one in each wall. Herrick does as he's told, manipulating the image until she's satisfied. He almost smiles. This is easy for him. A simple game, like drawing. We stare at the rough picture in silence, each one of us trying to puzzle out a way in. A pit? Farrah moans, dropping her head in her hands. Indeed, the prison block looks just like a square, sharp hole. Ada is less gloomy and more interested in dissecting as much of the prison as she can. Where do the gates lead? With a sigh, Cameron's shoulders slump. More blocks? How many total, I don't know. I got through three in a line before I was out. The illusion changes, adding blocks onto the sides of Cameron's. The sight feels like a punch in the gut. So many cells, so many gates, so many places for us to stumble and fall. But Cameron escaped. Cameron, who has no training and no idea how much she can do. You said there were silvers in the prison. Cal speaks for the first time since we began the meeting, and his mood is dark indeed. He won't step into the circle of firelight. For a moment, he looks the shadow Maven always claimed to be. Where? A barking, angry laugh. Harsh as stone against steel, escapes from Nyx. He jabs an accusing finger in the air, stabbing. Why? You want to let your friends out of their cages? Send them back to their mansions and tea parties? Pah! Let them rot! He waves a veined hand in Cal's direction, and his laughter turns cold as the autumn storm. You should leave this one behind, Mare. Better yet, send him away. He's got no mind to protect anything but his own. My mouth moves faster than my brain, but this time they're in agreement. Every single one of you knows that's a lie. Cal has bled for us all, and protected each of us, not to mention trained most of you. If he's asking about the other silvers in Koros, he has a reason, and it is not to free them. Actually, I spin, eyes wide, and surprise echoes over the room. You do want to free them? Think about it. They're locked up because they defied Maven or Ilara or both. My brother came to the throne under strange circumstances, and many, many will not believe the lie his mother tells. Some are smart enough to lie low to bide their time, but others are not. Their court schemes end in a cell. And of course, there are those like my Uncle Julian, who taught Mare what she was. He aided the Scarlet Guard, saved Killorn and Farley from execution, and his blood is blinding silver. He's in that prison too, with others who believe in an equality beyond the colors of blood. They're not our enemies, not right now. He replies. He uncrosses his arms, gesturing madly, trying to make us understand what the soldier in him sees. If we set them all loose on Koros, it'll be chaos. They'll attack the guards and do everything they can to get out. It's a better distraction than any of us can give. Even Nyx deflates, cowed by the quick and decisive suggestion. Though he hates Cal blaming him for the death of his daughters, he can't deny this is a good plan. Perhaps the best we might come up with. Besides, Cal adds, retreating back into the shadow. This time his words are meant only for me. Julian and Sarah will be with the Silvers, not the Newbloods.
Oh. In my haste, I'd actually forgotten somehow that their blood was not the same color as mine, that they are silver too.
Cal presses on, trying to explain. Remember what they are and how they feel. They are not the only ones who see the ruin in this world.
Not the only ones.
Logic tells me he must be right. After all, in my own limited time with Silvers, I met Julian, Cal, Sarah, and Lucas, four Silvers who were not so cruel as I believed them to be. There must be more. Like the Newbloods of Norta, Maven is eliminating them, throwing both dissenters and political opponents into jail to waste away and be forgotten. Cameron worries at her lip, teeth flashing.
The silver blocks are the same as ours, staggered in like a patchwork. One silver, one new blood, silver, new blood, and so on.
Checkered, Cal mutters, nodding along. Keep them separated from each other. Easier to control, easier to fight.
And your escape?
They walk to us once a week to keep us from dying. Some guard laughed about it, said the cells would kill us if they didn't let us out a bit. The rest could hardly shuffle along, let alone fight. But not me. The cells didn't make me sick.
Because they don't affect you, Ada says, her voice controlled and even, and gently correct. She sounds so much like Julian, it makes me jump.
For a blistering second, I'm back in his classroom full of books, and I'm the one being examined.
Your silencing abilities are so strong that the normal measures don't work.
A canceling effect, I think. One form of silence against another.
Cameron just shrugs, uninterested.
Sure. So you slipped away on the walk? Cal mutters, more to himself than anyone else. He's thinking this through, putting himself in Cameron's position, imagining the prison as she escaped, so he can figure out a way to break in.
The eyes couldn't see what you planned to do, so they couldn't stop you. They guarded the gates, yes.
She bobs her head in agreement. One watched every cell block, took his gun, put my head down, and ran.
Krantz lets out a low whistle, impressed by her boldness. But Cal is not so blinded and pushes further.
What about the gates themselves? Only a magnetron can open them.
At that, Cameron cracks a brittle smile. Seems Silvers are no longer stupid enough to leave command of every cell and gate to a handful of metal manipulators.
There's a key switch to open the doors in case you don't have a magnetron around, or to shut them with stone sliders, if one decides not to play nice.
This is my doing, I realize. I used Lucas against the cells in the Hall of the Sun. Maven is taking steps to make sure another can't do the same.
Cal cuts a glance at me, thinking exactly the same thing.
And you have the key?
She shakes her head, gesturing instead to her neck. The tattoo there is black, darker than even her skin. It marks her as a techie, a slave to the factories and smoke.
I'm a mechanic. She waggles her crooked fingers. Switches got gears and wires. Only an idiot needs a key to get those working right.
Cameron might be a pain, but she's certainly useful. Even I have to admit that.
I was conscripted even though we had jobs in Newtown.
She continues, dropping her tone.
The prison, Cameron, I tell her. We have to focus. Everyone works there. And it used to be we couldn't join the army even if we wanted.
She speaks over me, her voice stronger and louder. To compete would devolve into a shouting match.
The measures changed that. There was a lottery. 1 in 20. For everyone between 15 and 17.
My brother and I were both chosen.
Long odds, right?
Less than a 3% chance, Ada whispers. They separated us, me to the Beacon Legion out of Fort Patriot, and Maury to the Dagger Legion.
That's what they did with anyone who made trouble,
who even looked at an officer wrong. The Dagger Legion is a death sentence, you know.